The recursive prefer. That's for
later. Is there green on it?
Minastan. Okay. The, Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph. We left off with just reading the Gemara on a basic level, and we ended with this machlokas about whether Nisuin Rishonim are Mapilim or whether Misa Mapelis. Right? Let's just, what we did last year, we put on the board the different cases they discuss. Let's just remind ourselves of the case where there actually is a machlokas. That would be the case of, that's called Kanas Ulvasof Giresh. Here you have Reuven, right? And he marries Rachel, marries Leah, who is Erva on Shimon. Actually, all the way around. Reuven marries Rachel, who is Erva to Shimon. Then he marries Leah. Then he divorces Rachel. And then he dies. And here we have the machlokas. Rava says all the Mishnayos agree, and even Rav Yirmi admits that the Mishnah of the first parak agree, if you hold Misa Mapeles, then Shimon can be miyabein Leah, because she's not a Tzaras Erva b'shas Misa. But if you hold Nisuin Mishonim Mapilin, then Leah is Tzaras Erva to Shimon, because even though right now she's nothing, she was Tzaras Erva v'shas Nisuin Rishonim. When he married Leah, she was a Tzaras Erva. Right, that's Machlokas. Before we get to taking a broader perspective on Nisuin Rishonim Apilin, right, you have to ask, what's the sheet of this Mandamar Nisuin Rishonim Apilin, if there is such Mandamar, right? Rav Yirmiyah says, there is such Mandamar, the Tana of the third parak. Rav is skeptical. What about a very parallel case? This is Machlokas. What's Machlokas here? She was Tzaras Erva at the time of Nisuin Rishonim, but was not Tzaras Erva at the time of Misa. What about a parallel case? This is a case of Tzaras Erva Bishas Nisuin. What about a parallel case of Erva Bishas Nisuin, right? That should be even a more chumer case. Right, what is that case? That's the case discussed by Tosos and Daf Lamed Aleph. You look at Tosos and Daf Lamed Aleph for a moment, he says, V'im Tomer, the Rav Yirmiyah, the Amar, L'hai Tana de Pirkin, Savri, Nisuin Mapilin, right? Rav Yirmiyah says, we're in this parak, third parak, says Nisuin Mapilin, Amai lo noka de mesa achzman achayus tchila, v'achar kach, meis ba'lo shel shniya, v'kanas nasli nochus ishto meis, asura shenesra alav sha'achas, kevin Nisuin Mapilin. Okay, he is one question above of three brothers, second question of two brothers. It's the exact same case, logically. We'll just look at the two brothers' case, that's simpler. What's the case here? Where Rachel and Leah are sisters. So what happens? Shimon marries Rachel. Reuven marries Leah. Shimon, divorcing is not going to help here, because divorcing your wife doesn't make your sister mutter. But Rachel dies, and then Reuven dies. So what is the case here? What's the status of Leah? Right? Leah is not Erva B'shas Misa. Because Bechayeha, right? Your wife's sister's mother if the wife dies. But was Erva Mishas Nisuin Harishonim? So Tosos asks, why doesn't the Gemara, the Mishnah, use this example? Right? Because Nisunim Shonim Apilon, then you would say that Manda Omar, Manda Omar Misa Mapeles would say that Leah is Misya Bemes, and Manda Omar Nisuin Rishonim Apilon should say, says Tos, should say, right, that she's an Erva, because she was an Erva Bishas. Nisuin, and what's the rule? That once you're an Erva originally, you stay an Erva. Everyone knows that if you're an Erva, that's what a lot of the Mishnayos are talking about. If you go through them, once you're an Erva, and you're Pater from Yibam, you stay Pater from Yibam. So, what is Tosus answer? V'yesh lomar, deloma. Now, this is a kind of question. We're not going to go through all the ways to answer this question. The question is, why didn't the Mishnah use a different case than it did? That's the kind of question which there are always very many answers to. But what does Tosa say? V'yish lomar to loma hanilim nisun mapil eli nishmoisa tzoris erva shachah shovim laheter afli shvashas tefila karein tzoris erva. Manor nisun mapil my rishon mapil only applies to tzoris erva. Only tzoris erva for the beginning stays tzoris erva through the end. Aval kan nishum nisun mapil no nechshav nekilu nafla b'chay ishto v'yotzev yenu ba'usa sham nishum achos isha. We don't really consider it as if she fell to Yibam at the time she was an Erva and became Potter. So what does Tosa say? Tosa says, Misya Bemes. Tosa is a Chiddush. We don't say, Nisun Rishonim Apilin, Le'inyan, that if you're an Erva at the time Nisun, you stay an Erva. Only that if you're Tsaris Erva, you say Tsaris Erva. Now this is a sort of funny Shita. Why should Nisum Rishonim Apilim say if you're Tsaris Erva, then you're stuck being Potter from Yibam? But if you're an Erva Mamish, then you can be fixed. Seems a little funny that Erva should be more Chomer than Tsaris Erva. What's Pshat in Tosos? Before we get to Pshat in Tosos, I happen to discover that a lot of the Echronim deal with this Tosos, but not everyone agrees with this Tosos. There's a Mefurish or Zeruah who argues on this Tosos. Where's the Mefurish or Zeruah? It's on the sheet here. He argues implicitly. This is one in Tafresh Mem Dalid, where he says, where should we start with? Yeah, start in the middle of the fourth line. Mashu Tzon Lomer, Dabter Shayshu Mushasu Kayemet Bashas Mizachim. It's only, this is the case where you used to be married. It doesn't matter. Like if you divorce a woman, her sister's all the same, as long as she's alive. Right? Where if your wife or ex-wife was alive when your brother died, then there's a Ptor of Achos Isha. But if your wife, if your grusha died during the time Yisum Rishon before Misa, then your brother died, Achos Rishon Sharia. Then at the time he died, she's permitted because she's not a sister anymore. Even at the time Yisum, she was Pater from Yibon. Even though the time Nisuin she was Aser, since the time Misa she was Mutter, it's okay. This is a big machlokas. It's a machlokas in the Balamor and the Melchamos, who I think I put on this sheet in brackets, and some other Rishonim. Do we paskin like Rabba, or are we choshesh maybe to be machmir for a Yirmiyah? Everyone thinks Rav is the upper hand. The question is, do we push a pasuk like Rav for get Nisuin Mapilin, or at least among most Rishonim, or are we choshesh for Yirmiyah? So, and then, okay, we'll see me another Shita in Pesach. So he says, we pasuk like Rav, because of Misa Mapeles. Perek Delet Achim Kosperish for Rabin Hanan, the Kamek Rav, and that's the Rabin Hanan in the third perek, that we hold like Rav, who were Bashis like Hilka, hold the Kamek, the Misa Mapeles. What does the Zohar say? Since we paskin like Rava, then she's mutter, because at the time of Misa, she wasn't your sister-in-law. But the yuk is exceedingly clear. According to Rav Yirmiyah, she would be usher. Right? We paskin like Rava, she's mutter. According to Rav Yirmiyah, she would be usher. So, says the Zeruah, halacha l'maisa, he paskins like Rava. But says the Zeruah, according to Rav Yirmiyah, if she was an Erva or, at the time of Nisuin, she would stay in Erva. So we're, the Or Zeruah, again, we're going to analyze Yirmiyah Shita here. Rav Shita does not need a lot of analysis. Rav Shita is pretty posh. We all would have thought Misa Mapeles. Right? If you took, I don't know, someone who never heard of the Bible off the street and gave them Gideon Bible and said, here, read this part in Kitetze and tell me whether Misa Apelis or Nisuin Shoma Apelis. I said, Misa Apelis, that's the Din of Yibam. Din of Yibam only starts in Misa. Umesa Chamei and Venelo. The only reason we care about Yibam is that a guy died. Until he died, what is there to talk about, right? Rav Ashita is very clear. Question is, what's Rav Yirmiyah? So Rav Yirmiyah, the Tosos, or the rule applies across the board, Nisuin Shonim Apelin. From the time of Nisuin Shonim, she's Bas Yibam, and she's up to her Erva, she's up to her Erva. Tosa says, no, only the Ptur of Tsaras Erva can apply to Shas Nisuin Shonim, not the Ptur of Erva itself. And that Tosfos, we have to figure out exactly what's Pshat of the Tosfos, and basically, you know, I'm going to oversimplify a little between Tosfos, the different Pshat and Tosfos, there's a Ruah, we can get the different Pshatim in, what does it mean, this whole Shita of Nisuin Rishonim Mapila. One possibility is that it literally means the Nefila is Mishas Nisuin. The Nefila is Mishas Nisuin. And then what would you say about the case of Erva Mamish, B'shas Nisuin Rishonim? You would say, like the Or Zeruah. That, across the board, any Yavama who was Asura B'shas Nefila stays Asura. Right? That is the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah makes sense. Nisuin Rishonim Apilin. For the time Nisuin Rishonim, once he's Aptor, he's Aptor. The question is, what does Tosfos hold? Why does Tosfos think that Nisuin Rishonim Apilin means if you're a Tsaras Erev in the time Nisuin Rishonim, then you're stuck being a Tsaras Erev. But if you're an Erev in Shas Nisuin Rishonim, as long as you get fixed by Nisa, then you're okay. What's the Svar of Tosfos? So there are two ways to read the Svar of Tosfos.
I don't know if it's Tosso Svar, but I mean, I try to understand. I understand that Erva is an obvious thing. It exists, doesn't exist. But Tsara is a sort of a made-up thing. You wouldn't in your mind think that Tsara should exist.
And therefore?
Therefore, if it happens, it happens. So it just continues. Once there's a Tsara is a whole concept of Tsara. You know, these people are against each other. So she still carries this animosity against her, so it keeps on going.
Uh-huh. I mean, even though they're not Tsaras anymore.
Okay, but still, you know.
Right. Okay, so I think I'll go that way, but maybe I would do it a little differently. But first, always good to look at more technical explanation. First, the Tosos, my Rambam Peretz here, says like Tosos, and actually gives us an explanation. So I also happen to notice the Ramban said the same thing in Daf Mem Aleph, which is also on. There are Tosos says right here, my Rambam Peretz, whatever we call it, says... So first of all, what is he trying to say about the man of Nisuin Rishonim Apilin? What? That this is Drabanan. Right, what's he trying to say? Nisuin Rishonim Apilin is Midrabanan. It's a Xavier Drabanan. Why is it Xavier Drabanan? Because it looks like Tsaras Erva, it could be confused with Tsaras Erva. Meaning, a Tsaras Erva, B'shas Nisuin, really Nisuin Rishonim are not Mapilim. Of course Nisuin Rishonim are not Mapilim. How can Nisuin Rishonim be Mapilim? That doesn't make any sense. But there's a Chiyuv Yibam? When anytime your brother gets married, you have a Nefila of Yibam then? No, of course Misa Mapelis. It just means that there's a Gezeira, Nisuin Rishonim, Tsaras Erva, Adu Mit, Ashas Misa, Tsaras Erva. Why did they make a Xera on Tsaras Erva, but not a Xera on Erva herself? This is, I think, this isn't what you meant, but it's included in the words of what you said. Why did they make a Xera on Tsaras Erva, but not on Erva herself? What does the Tosos, Maharam, Vera being Peretz, and we also saw that in the brackets, it's all over the Rambam and Aleph, say that really Misa Mapelis. But there's a Gzeira Nisuin Rishonim Atu Shas Misa. They were Gozar Tzaris Erva Shas Nisuin Atu Tzaris Erva Shas Misa.
So why weren't they Gozar an Erva Shas Nisuin Rishonim Atu an Erva Shas Misa? So the answer is clear. Because Erevas are very, very pashut. Everyone knows the rules of Arayas. Everyone knows if someone's an Erev or if they're not an Erev. That's a very, very simple rule that people can keep track of. They know this woman used to be related to you, now she's not related to you. But Tzaris Erev is a very complicated rule and it's easy to get confused. Not only that, number one, it's easy to get confused because it's very complicated. Number two, it's easy to get confused because, you know, you have the Shami, they're still arguing about it and you don't know who to believe and there's a lot of confusion in the world. So for Tzaris Erev, they made a special Gzeira. I think this is what the Tosfos Rabbeinu part, Maharam is saying, Gazru. Bitzaras Erva, right? Why? Because Tzaras Erva Bishas Nisuin Nir Ace Kitsaras Erva Kitsaras Erva Velo Gazru Erva Gufa, because you won't get confused. Meaning, what do you mean you won't get confused? If people hear that, oh, you know, there's this case where someone looked like an Erva and then all of a sudden we saw them doing Yibam later, what are they going to think? That you can marry an Erva? No, they're going to understand that she was an Erva then and she wasn't an Erva later. But in a case of Tzaris Erva, people say, you know, there were two wives and one of them was an Erva and then one of them ended up doing Yibam. People won't necessarily notice that one of them got divorced. That's not such an obvious thing. They can easily just think there's no such issue as Tzaris Erva. So when it comes to Gzeiras Rabbanan, they were practical. They said, what's more likely to get confused? There really is no Nisum Rishonim Apilim. There's no such sheet as Nisum Rishonim Apilim. It's just a Gzeira, and they made a Gzeira in one case, and because you could get confused, it didn't make a Gzeira an Erva, and they thought you wouldn't get confused. That is the pshat of the Tosfos Maharam and Rabbeinu Peretz. However, all the Achronim interpret Tosfos in a different way. this is a famous Griz that we mentioned a while ago, and all the modern day Achronim, and even the not so modern day Achronim, interpret Tosfos in a different way. They say, what does it mean, Nisun Rishonim Apilin? And they go back to a Chakira we had about Tzaris Erva. What was the Chakira we had about Tzaris Erva? Anyone?
Is it a Ptur from Yibam, or is it a new Isser?
Right, is it a Ptur from Yibam, just a din in the field of Yibam, or is there a new Isser called Tzaris Erva? What Havamina clearly showed that at least on the Havamina, they strongly considered the possibility it was a new Isser? Which Havamina has clearly shown that there's a new Isser on the Tzaris Erva because of the Erva? No, in the early in the parrot. The Havmi that Tzaris Erva should be Usur. Even Shalom Makom Mitzvah. Remember the Havmi that even if a stranger married two people and there was no Yibam, that Tzaris Erva should be Usur? Right? It's a Havmi. Some Yankel married two wives, one of them was an Erva to me, and then died. I can't marry the other one. Nothing to do with Yibam. That's clearly a Havmi. What's that Havmi is saying? That a Tzaris Erva is Usur, having nothing to do with the Nefila. Now, we Paskin, Tzaris Erva is only Usur because of the Nefila. The question is, what does that mean, said the Griz? Is that because it's the Nefila that makes the Tzaris Erva Aser, because it's a Ptur Yibam, or no? A Tzara is only considered a real Tzara, right? A Tzara is only considered a Tzara. It's only relevant to me that these people are married together if it's in the Parsha of Yibam. Maybe the Parsha of Yibam is just the glue that binds these Tzaras together, because if Chaim Yankel is married to two wives, what does that have to do with me? That's not relevant to me. But if there's some parsha of Yibam, then it's relevant to me. It's relevant to me that these two women are tsaros. Once it's relevant to me that two women are tsaros, then a tsar of an erva is like an erva. So says the Brisker Rav here, says, what's pshat in Tosfos? He says, really, what's pshat in Tosfos? Really, Nefila is Bishas Misa. But the let's take the well, Grizz doesn't sort of commit himself, but let's say the, the potential for Nephila, like the Parsha of Yibam, right? The whole idea that we're in the Parsha where Yibam Mishayach, when does that start? Well, you already see the potential, Mishas Misa, that's true, Shas Nisuin, that's true. When a guy has a brother and he marries a girl, already we know we're in the potential Parsha of Yibam here. Obviously there's no Nephila, there's no real Mitzvah Yibam here. How can there be Mitzvah Yibam? They're still married. What it means is that, not that there's a real Mitzvah Yibam, what it means is that there's some potential Nephila Yibam going on. The Parsha of Yibam is here. But the potential for Nephila is Mishas Nisuin. So, the potential of Nephila is Mishas Nisuin. So therefore, how does that explain Tosfos? An erva bishas nisuin is muteres because really misa mapelas, right? Even Yerim, it's really the nefilas for misa, right? So what's the problem with tsaras erva? But a tsaras erva at any time where Yibam is potentially relevant, is a recognized tzara, and gets an independent iser of Tsaras Erva. That's what the Brisker Rav explains. This proves, he says, my side of the Chakira in this Lundus. And he actually wants to say this Tosfos Shitasik. He had many rise from Tosfos like this, all of which we mentioned much, much, much earlier in the year. Says the Brisker Rav, I'll tell you Pshat Tosfos Lundus, Pshat Tosfos Erva. Right. Erva, she used to be an Erva, now she's not an Erva anymore. What's the problem? Right? There wasn't really Nephila yet. There's no din of Yivamash and Nesul Shahachas is be surely Olam. But Tsaras Erva doesn't need a Nephila be Usher. That's his point. The Isser of Tsaras Erva doesn't come from the Nephila. The Isser of Tsaras Erva comes from the new Parsha called Tsaras Erva. The only thing is, you need a Shaychus to Nephila in order for this Parsha to apply, because the Xeris Akasav that says, Aleha b'mako mitzvah asir shlobak to Shaira, that if the Parsha of Yivam doesn't apply, then this new Isser of Tsaras Erva is not Chal. But once the Parsha of Yibam applies, even in potential, even in some theoretical sense, right, then this new Isser of Tsaras Erva is Chal. Once the new Isser of Tsaras Erva is Chal, then the Isser was already Chal on her. It has nothing to do with Hilchos Yibam. It's not because of Hilchos Yibam. In Hilchos Yibam, there was no Nephila yet. It's just that the potential for Nephila allowed the Parsha of Tsaras Erva to apply. And now she's also become Tsaras Erva. So these are three basic Mahalchim in understanding the mandar of Nisuin Rishonim Apilim. Again, the Chaz of the Urzurah seems to say, no, really Nisuin Rishonim Apilim. Really, the Nephila is from the beginning, and if she's an Erva from the beginning, then the Mitzvah of Yibam is Paka, and there's no more Mitzvah of Yibam. She's a Tsaras Erva from the beginning, she's an Erva from the beginning. I think he would say, if there's any problem, there's anything that removes the Yibam at the beginning of the marriage, then it's gone, because he thinks every marriage already has a Yibam built in. The Tosfos Aharon and Beir Peretz and the Ramban say, no, of course there's no such thing as Nisuin Rishonim Apilim. We never even heard of Yibam until the guy dies. There's no such thing as Yibam until he dies. What is this whole sheet over here? Yeah, it means a special Gzeira on Tsaras Erva. Special Gzeira because it's so confusing, the Inyan of Tsaras Erva. And the Achronim, based on the Brisker Rav, want to make a Lundish, so there's someplace in the middle. Of course there's no real mitzvah of Yibam. The Chiyav Asay of Yibam doesn't kick in before death. But the potential for Yibam is already there. And if the, this is, who did I mention on the sheet? This is the way the Rav Chana formulates the theory of the Brisker Rav. Once the potential for Yibam is there, so what? The potential for Yibam doesn't make any difference. It's just the potential. Every marriage has a potential for Yibam.
So what? What difference does it make as a potential Yibam? It doesn't make any difference, except in the case of Tsaras Erva. Why?
Because Tsaras Erva should be usher even without any Yibam, like the Habamiyah, the Filo Shalom Mako Mitzvah. It's just, you need some shaychus and interest in the case in order to make this relevant to you.
So even a potential Yibam is enough shaychus and interest to make this relevant to you. Once it's relevant, the Yisr of Tsaras Erva is how? And it's not an Yisr Mitam Yibam. It's an Yisr Mitam Tsaras Erva, like the Prima Gadim, this one, Lachor, well, the Prima Gadim, that you get Kuris for, you know, Tsaras Habas gets Kuris for Tsaras Habas. Not just for Ishtash Shalom Makomitzah. Okay, these are three ways of understanding the relationship between Erva and Tsaras Erva. And this carries through to understanding the relationship between this and some other sugyas that come up in the Masechet about Nisun Rishonim Apilu.
What is the other most famous context where we have a Mandar Nisun Rishonim Apilu?
That's also iffy. There are 3 days in the Amorah, only according to 1 day is this the Shita. But what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? In Daf Kuftes at the top.
If you divorce your wife and remarry her.
If a guy divorces a wife and remarries her, then and dies, there's no Yibam. Why? Because once he divorced her, he ended the parsha of Yibam. Nisun Rishon Mapilim. Once he divorced her, he ruined it and made her Eish Zashlo Mako Mitzvah. And now, once she's Usher, she can never become Mutter again. Right? That is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who says Nisun Rishon Mapilim. Right? In the end, he's a sopik about it, so he says, Kaletzes Womusev Enes. Okay, almost all the Rishonim Achronim assume this is the exact same Shita. How does Rebbe Eliezer fit in there, right? Rebbe Eliezer, on Daf Kortes of Aleph, what does he say? Megarish Ishto Umachzira. Someone who's Megarish Ishto Umachzira is Asura Liyavam. Why? Because the Yisun Rishonim are Mapilim. That, Tosfos and Ardaf points out, that this sugi explains the use of which word? What technical points are supposed to point out in our daf? Rishonim. Why say Nisun? Why not Nisun, not Pilim? Because they're referring to the sugya of Eliezer, where there are two Nisuins. It says the first Nisun is Mapilim. Once the first Nisun is Mapilim, that's just the Yibam. Once he divorces her, he now assers the Yibam. Once the Yibam is asser, it can never become Mutter again. That's the new Yibam. Shinesh v'sha'achas becomes Ishasach forever. So, this makes perfect sense. How does this Shita make perfect sense? According to the Urza Ruah, then it makes perfect sense, of course. He holds that really Nisun Rishonim are Mapilim. Really, the Chi of Yibam started from Nisun Rishonim. Every time when my brother has a chasna, I all of a sudden become Chayiv in Yibam. I understand the time hasn't come yet, but I become Chayiv in Yibam. And then, so if my brother divorces his wife, now I become Usher in Yibam. If he remarries her, it's too late. I'm already Usher. It's just like, right, if I have two brothers and one marries or divorces her, well, then another one couldn't marry her. But, yeah. Theoretically, if another one marries her, I'm still usher because of the first marriage. So yeah, I'm usher because of the first marriage. Like Eishnach Shalom alone, more accurately. What would Tosfos Maror Mei Peretz say about this case of Rebbe Eliezer? What the Rabban actually said in this case, but Rebbe Eliezer holds the Shika. He held the Shun. How do you explain Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer? Right? Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer. Why is it usher? Because only if it, there's no such thing as really Shun in your Shonim Apilim. So what? Would the Tosfos Maror Mei Peretz end up saying? What would he have to say? That he only means his usher as Xera. That is exactly what the Ramban says. And Daf Mem Aleph. It's a little tricky to fit into the Gemara there. But that's what the Ramban says in Daf Mem Aleph. The Ramban says, yeah, Rav Yirmi is Xera, and Erlaz is also Xera. Anyone with the sheep in Yisum Rishonim Apilim doesn't really mean Yisum Rishonim Apilim. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. It really means they make Xera because people could easily be confused. But it means that there's one man lover says, we don't think people will be confused in case of Yisum Rishonim. And another man lover says, we do think people will be confused. That is what the Ramban says. The equal name of Rabbi Eliezer, but he's sooner shown about Philomid Rabbanan. About Philomid Rabbanan, who Dar Karmar Chaletzes is only Mr. Rabbanan. After all, it says you need Chalitza. I'm a Lamisur Dar Raisi Elamid Rabbanan. Kamal Shahochu be sooner shown him by Tars Erva. Right? So he says, the Ramban says, that's also only a Xera. Derabbanan. What's the Xera Derabbanan? The guy, my brother marries a woman, divorces her, remarries her, and dies. What's the Xera Derabbanan? What bad thing can happen if I did Yibam? So apparently they think it's Xera Atustam Grushas off of when he didn't remarry her. This time my brother divorced her and remarried her and I did Yibam. A guy might mistakenly think my brother divorces a wife and doesn't remarry her and I did Yibam. You can see that happening, you know? My brother got married and divorced and died without kids. You could see the hot man should be yabbing his ex-wife. Yeah, better than nothing. So therefore, and that would be a Horban. So therefore, Gzeira Drabanan L'chora Atu Perushas Achiv. You know, Shalom Echzira. They were Gozer, that if you divorce, he's Machzer Gzeira, so I shouldn't be Yibam. Gzeira Atu Vistad, the words of the woman, I shouldn't think that I can marry her. Alright, that's also Gzeira Drabanan. What would the Tosos, according to the way the Achronim read him, say here, Tosos saying, what's Shat Nishu Rishon Apilin? It's not that really Nishu Rishon Apilin. It's just that you have potential for you. You don't really have a Chiv Yibam here. You just have the potential for Yibam here. So how would you explain Rabbi Eliezer's Shita? If really what it means is that when you marry the first time, you have potential for Yibam. But it wasn't really Chal yet. So then why should it be a problem if he divorces her and remarries her? What's the problem? He didn't. The Chiv Yibam wasn't Chal till he died. And when he died, who cares about past history? So...
But
that's the sheet that if you hold the Zera Darabanan. But if you want to assume this, really don't write it. Pashup Shan the Sugis don't write it. The Rabban is very dachuk. The Rabban is very dachuk because the Sugis says, why is. What does the Sugis say in Dachuk test? Why is Sheikh Oletzes? If the Sugis shouldn't appeal, oh, he's Mesoka. It just says it's Zera Darabanan. Simple Shan is Darabanan. So here's where the Kovetz Arus explains. The Kovetz Arus explains that at the time of Gerushin, even the potential Yibam was Paka. What's the difference between Gerushin and anything else? As long as my brother's alive, I can't do Yibam. Right? But there's potential. Let's say even my brother has kids. I wouldn't do Yibam, there's potential, because who knows? We hope everyone lives in the Maivasrum, but who knows if the kids will survive. Let's say she becomes an heir to me. There's potential for Yibam because she could stop being an Erev if she's Achos Eshti. Right? There's always potential. But at the time of divorce, that kills even the potential for Yibam. Because if he's not even married to her, then there's no need to have potential for Yibam at all. So the Kovetz Arus says, no, this is L'shitase. Just like in the case of Rav Yirmiyah and Daf Yud Gimel, the potential Yibam was already enough of a tseiruf to this marriage to be. That I recognize Sars Arab and the Israel Sars Arab as Chal. Likewise, the potential for Yibam, once it's Paka, can't come back. The only thing that destroys potential for Yibam is Gerushin. Because as long as someone's alive, there's always potential. If this is Gerushin, there's no reason to think there should be Yibam at all. So it was Paka, and once Paka, it can't return. Once even the potential is paka, you can only have this potential for even once. Once this potential for even is paka, then it can't return.
So we think it's more likely that his children will die than that he'll be master for us?
No. Not a matter of likelihood. It's that as long as he's married, every marriage contains within it the potential for Gima, right? One of the dinim of getting married is that if a certain circumstance happens down the road, there will be potential for Yibam. So what I mean is, as long as he's married, the potential for Yibam is built into the marriage. Once he gets divorced, and even if the odds are only 0.01%, it's built into the marriage, there's potential for Yibam. Once he gets divorced, unless maybe he's a Swiss, you know, then once he gets divorced, then, since the whole, where did potential Yibam come from? Came from the marriage. Right? What do I mean by potential Yibam? Let me be clear here. It's always hard to talk about one issue. I don't just mean that potentially there could be Yibam. That's just a statement about the world, which everyone knows. You don't need Lundus to say that potentially there could always be Yibam. What I mean is that built into the marriage, according to the Orzer, is a Chiv Yibam. According to the Rabban, the Tosos, my Rabbi parents, is nothing. And according to the Achronim and Tosos, built into every marriage is the potential for Yibam down the line. But once he divorces, he kills that potential. And once he kills that potential, then he can never resurrect it. You can't have that twice. The Rav and the Imri Moshe, Rav Moshe Sokolovsky, Talmud Rav Chaim, have an even bolder formulation of this idea, and they say it's more than potential. They say it's even more than potential. This is the Brit and the Imri Moshe. They have even somewhat a radical idea.
They say, what does it mean, Yisurim Rishonim Apilim? It's not just potential, it's more than potential. Every Yavama is an Eshesach, and that Eshesach is mutter for Yivam. How does Eshesach become mutter? So we would think, okay, Eshesach becomes mutter. They go a little further, they say, no. Every Eshesach is really outside from the beginning. What's the potential Yivam?
It's not just potential Yivam, because every marriage carries within it the potential that you have to take care of tying up loose ends. No. Potential Yivam is that every marriage creates Eshes Ish.
All right, but we know that Eshes Ish is Nita through Get and Nisa Bat. Every marriage also creates creates Eshes Ach. How can Eshes Ach be Nita? The answer is Eshes Ach is never Nita.
Eshes Ach is never Nita. How does Yibam work?
Every Eshes Ach is Al Tanai. If there's a Yibam, then she was never an Eshes Ach. If there's not a Yibam, she wasn't Eshes Ach. If you never end up doing Yibam, she's Eshesach. But if you do Yibam, then Lo Afreya, she was never Eshesach. Because there's no such thing as Eshesach for a year or two. Eshesach is forever. So the only way Yibam works is that Lo Afreya, she was never Eshesach. What's the potential here? They specify here. They say the potential is that Eshesach is Nitar Limafreya, or I would say even better, it's not Nitar Limafreya. I should use the word Mutter Limafreya. Eishes Ach is Mutter Limafreya if Yibam happens. They say that's what the potential means. It doesn't just stop mean potential. It means that Eishes Ach is Mutter L'mafreya. The heter of Eishes Ach was already there. Why would the heter of Eishes Ach be there when they got married 100 years ago? Because if the heter of Eishes Ach wasn't there the whole time, it could never be Mutter. That's the chiddush of the Rav in the Yemei Moshe. That if Eishes Ach wants its chal, it can never be Mutter. It has to be, you know, like the Rambam says about the miracle and the Sheish Mei Gracious, the Nesh Mashiach of the Rav Shabbos, right? That you can't break the rules once they're in place. It has to be built in the first place. Right? The heter of Eishes Ach is built in the first place. Now, and how does Yibam work? Yibam works by saying, ah, she was never really an Eishes Ach because it ended up being Yibam.
This means if the woman commits adultery with her husband's brother, and then eventually he ends up doing Yibam, if I'm afraid it was never chayv for Eishes Ach?
I think it might. I haven't seen them discuss this explicitly, because one thing is very clear. The Gemara says all over the place that if Stam, you know, a brother is alive and you sleep with his wife, that there's an Yerchai Shem Eishes Ach. The question is, what if in the end you end up doing Yibam? That's not clear in the Gemara. Could be if you end up doing Yibam in the end, could be that it wasn't Eishes Ach. Yeah. Or maybe you could say it's like a timing these things. That's what I'm suffering about.
You can be Matir in Isu and Mafreya.
Why not? There's some things that are all tonight. They're built in.
The person who's miscarrying something mutter to us or it was mutter.
Maybe. That's what I told Daniel. I'm not sure about. Maybe it's totally much Lama Freya. Or maybe it's not that it's totally much Lama Freya, but it has this like time release heter built into it.
He wasn't miscarrying to be
right. Could be Anachanami. It could be. Obviously, this is a super duper duper kind of hutra, right? It's not the huy or anything. It could be that, yeah, it could be that Takish, she was never Eishes Ach Mafreya. Now, how much of that can help you? Not terribly much, because the guy did sleep with his brother's wife. He violated Eishes Ish either way, while his brother was alive. So, you know, he's still not going to get Mafriyona. But it could be in a Hanami. And then, says the Rav in the Imrei Moshe very beautifully, say, if the nature of this potential of the Heter Eishes Ach is already built in, then it's very Pashut. That in this case, the first marriage, is Eishes Ach, has no heter. Only the second Eishes Ach has a heter. And that is the svara of Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say if your brother divorced the wife and remarries her, you can't do Yibam? Because the only Yibam is a Matre Yishtach. It has to be Matre all along. So when you do Yibam because of the second marriage, that can only be Matre the Yishtach of the second marriage. But there's nothing to Matre Yishtach of the first marriage. The first marriage ended in divorce, didn't end in Yibam. First marriage ended in divorce, the second marriage ended in Yibum. So if you say Stam Yibum, pulverized Eshasach, that's the Chachamim. But if you say no, Yibum can only work if Eshasach is Mutter all along, then the second marriage ended in Yibum, so Eshasach is Mutter all along. But the first marriage ended in divorce, so Eshasach is not Mutter all along. And that's why I said, we soon shall not appeal and you can't do Yibum. I'm not going to get into this now, but it would be a fascinating question to ask as long as this is true. What's the Shita of the Chachamim? Do they just say, forget this whole lumdus, and Eshasach just need to Rishas Misa? Or do they think that a Maksu Rishaso continues the original Ishas? That's a very fundamental, interesting question on Maksu Rishaso, which we won't get into now. That's time.
So according to the Kotzaros, both of Kotzaros and the grid, so and the Rav, so it's this third Shita doesn't just work for Tosos, it works for whoever disagrees with Tosos, because here it's by the Erva herself, there's things that are relevant about Nisum Lepilin.
They're saying it within Tosfos. They're saying it within Tosfos. It would be trickier to say this for the Orza Ruah because then you'd still have to explain to it's just potential along what's the problem she becomes an Erva. I understand the problem she becomes a Tsaras Erva, that's a Nuchalos. I understand the problem she gets divorced, that ends the whole Parsha. But what's the problem if she's an Erva in the middle? So I'm not saying you couldn't answer that, but I'll be Pashtos, that sounds like a stronger Shita.
Who's Usher for one? I mean, if there was potential, and then the potential got...
Nah, but they have to follow the question. What if he had kids and they died? Right? So we don't say she's Usher for 1 minute, that she stays Usher. Because whatever, we have to see how things end, right? So that's why it's not so passionate. And the Urza Ruah is going to have to address that. And have to make some chish. Okay, now I just want to show a very, very interesting Urza Ruah Lishitase. The Gaonim had, you should know, one of the biggest issues in Halacha Maisa that's not as common b'zman hazeh, but a big issue Halacha Maisa in the time of Gaonim Rishonim is what about a Yavam who shmatted? Right, what about a Yavam who converted out? Right, what was the problem? Problem was it was hard enough to find the Yavam in the first place, you know, 1,000 years ago. You know, it was not a global village yet. Right? So go find the Yavam. But if the Yavam converted out, then like, what incentive does the Yavam have to do? Obviously, you wouldn't want him to do Yibam because you have to marry a Christian. But what incentive does he have to do Chalitza? Right? He converted out. Like, he doesn't care what the Benzin says. He doesn't care what the Torah says. He doesn't care what the Rabbi said. Not only that, but it might be forbidden for him to do Chalitza under his new religion. Right? It wouldn't be acceptable. The priest won't let him do Chalitza. Right? The priest, not nowadays. Nowadays, the priests are very liberal. If you told them you need some Christian to do chalitza to help out in a human interest story, they would say, of course, go right ahead. You know, it's a different world nowadays. Nowadays, the cardinal can have cottage set for him in France. But in the old days, right, if you told them, oh, this poor girl, she's going to be asura l'shuk, she's going to be guna forever, and this Christian guy has to do chalitza, they'd say, no way, tough luck on you Jews. Right? You should abandon your foolish ways and accept the truth of the New Testament, and then you won't have these problems anymore. You know, then you do chalitza in your heart or something.
You could pay him off,
but it might not work, because if the priest doesn't let him, then, you know, think about it. If you're a convert to Christianity in the Middle Ages, the last thing you want to do is give people reason to think that you're not a wholehearted convert, and you're still keeping your Jewish ways, right? Even before the Inquisition, this probably was not a great idea. So, again, don't imagine nowadays with the Kaddish in Paris. You know, we're talking about in the old days, right? When Jews were real Jews and Christians were real Christians. And, you know, so what do you do in your case with Yavam Zomor? This is a tremendous, tremendous machlokas. Rashi, the famous Chumru, says, you're stuck. You have to just try your best. And many, many Rishonim came up with many, many kulas. And the Urza Ruah here in Siman Tav Reish Hey has a famous discussion, which is also on the sheet here, from the Gaonim. The Gaonim were mostly all Mekel, and said a Yavam Mumer is not Zokik, it's no problem, you just want to do the Shabbat without even more Chalitza. And they had many different explanations. What it's going to say, Kashim Shubas Gaonim says, Shemesh Yavam Shabbat Mumer, Lo Mishari Le Amal De Chalitza. You're stuck, you need Chalitza. Why? The Ha'apagal Dishtam and Biktu Shase Kai. Because everyone knows, even though he converts to Christianity, he's still considered a Jew. That's the principle of the Kaimelon to even Kaddish Rasol Tazbo Kedushin. If he's Makadish, it's Toface, right? That's the principle of Yisrael Lach Bishal Tazbo Yisrael. The Hafi Amar Erev Nachshon Goen. Now it's starting to sound very matter. Bar Yisrael, the Kaddish Isha, the Hafli Ach Mumar Pshas Kedushin. if a Jew gets married and he has a brother who's a mummer at the time of the marriage, who makes out by yourself blood bottom, he dies without kids, ishto p'tur min achlitz v'nei yivam, then she's p'tura, came with the cut and shamdu say, da'ach l'kidushin, will miss out by yourself, ishto p'tur min achlitz v'nei yivam. Right, what is Rav Nachshon going, the Tshuvas HaGaon, quote from Rav Nachshon going, it depends on the case, says the Tshuvas HaGaonim. If the guy married and then his brother shmatted, then she's a kuka, l'yibim achalitza. But if the brother shmatted and then he got married, then she's patur. Basically, it depends if the brother is already a mummer, b'shas nisuin or not. Basically, we don't care if the brother's a mummer, b'shas nisa. We care if the brother's a mummer, b'shas nisuin. My time, and Yishum Nishuin, and Rishonim Apil, and Yishum Nishuin, and Yishum Nishuin, and Yishum Nishuin, and Yishum Nishuin, and Yishum, what does he say? It depends on the status of the brother, b'shas nisuin, not b'shas misa. B'chema tzas b'seh b'basu agadu b'cholam, another halachic work from the Gaonim. I know its name sounds a little strange to us nowadays, but in those days it was more cool. Yivam shenafli mumar zekukli yavam v'isal azika da'ach mi'aliyav yav mumar asur l'mashay lama d'cholzim v'nau yav mumar. Of course she can't marry a mumar, but she has to get chalitza. My tama, d'min kan akdash l'bala cholalei. Because from the time of Kiddushin, the Chiv Yimuz Chal, Dormin Yisun, or Shonim Apilin. The owner seemed to pass in Yisun, or Shonim Apilin. But if he was a mummer originally, then at the time of Yisun, or Shonim, he was a mummer, there's no Chiv Yimuz. They come to all kinds of explanations why there's no Chiv Yimuz. But if he only became a mummer later, then there is a Chiv Yimuz. And the Arzur word goes on to say that if we really hold Yisun, or Shonim Apilin, right according to that Shita, then it should depend purely on Shas Nisuin. And, you know, if he was a mummer of Shas Nisuin, she'd be Pater even if he did tshuva. If he was from the Shas Nisuin, she would be Chayev, even if he later became a mummer. Nisuin Rishonim Apilim. The Arzarua says, Dine mummer, go by Shas Nisuin. According to the Mandar, Nisuin Rishonim Apilim. The Truma says, Deshin says, has a problem with this. Vesum Nira. Dick, now, what I call is the Shita of the Arzarua? Is it this the Shita of the Orza Rua that Yisum Rishon Rabbeinu, that Mummer depends on Shas Nisuin? Who is it the Shita of? The Gaonim, right? Basar Gavri Chalev, the Tshuvas HaGaonim, and Nachshon Gaonim. You can actually find that in the Tshuvas HaGaonim, one of the earliest published Tshuvas HaGaonim that we have, the Shari Tzedek. It's in there in the name of Rav Hiwai Gaonim or something. It's a lot of Gaonim. And then if you read the whole Orza Rua, it's very fascinating. It gives lots of explanations. Why do I call this the Shita of the Orza Rua? Because if you're only reading the Gaonim, and that's what many people say, we just read the Gaonim and they say Yisun Rishonim Apilim, we take that lav davka. Maybe that's just an expression. It has nothing to do with our sugya. Right? But if you read the whole Arzur Ruah, you'd see he actually says, no, this is totally on Machlok, because we're Yerian Rabba. So the Arzur Ruah himself, it's because he takes the Gaonim literally and say it's dependent on the exact sugya and shas and Yisun Rishonim Apilim. As opposed to theoretically, you could have said, don't give me these Gaonim. They're not speaking literally. They just mean a rhetorical flourish, Yisun Rishonim Apilim. They really mean something else. What else could they really mean? Right? Who is here for a research year? Right? What could you say the Gona meant if you so desired? They said, really, they don't mean Yisum Rishonim Apilin. Really, they're not saying anything about Yibam. Really, they mean if he was a mummer b'shas Kiddushin, she had in mind that tonight that she didn't want the Kiddushin to be chal if he would die without kids. You know, and if he was a kosher b'shas Yisum, she didn't have in mind that tonight. So you could take these Gona and say they mean other things, not Kipshutan. The Orza Rua takes them Kipshutan. How do I know? Because if you go on in the ellipsis here, you'll see he actually starts quoting Rava and Rav Ashi and Daf Lamed and the Rabbi Chananel Daf Lamed, who passes like Rava and we hold like Rav Yirmiyah, it brings down all the Rishonim. Said the Truma's addition to the Orza Rua, though, V'sunir d'kashim la'olam d'ir ga'onim shechulku me'hach davi mumer v'heich davi mumer shasuzu v'vein davi yehuda v'osa shah. Says these ga'onim are difficult. Again, what I would say is that the Gaonim, you could, if you want to say, they're not so difficult, because they didn't mean it literally. But he takes it literally through the Orza Rua. He's saying the Gaonim I present the Orza Rua are very difficult. The Hainu time should feel the Yisun Mapilin? Right, that's they say. Avaga the Meshivas are right. Obviously, we're not going to argue on the Gaonim. Kolshkin on a Yitush Kata. Right, a little gnat like me is not going to argue on the lines of the Gaonim. But we come up in Torah Yiblomo and Tzarech. Vekashli tuva. Chada de rubber sort of her comedy bones, misa mapellus, Mishani Mesis and her comedy dalabak, which are very really misa mapellus, who means her from Zupatani. Who could rub a kind one day, Rub Yermia, the Mishani Tavra, Pain Potskashir. First of all, we shall hold like rub against Yermia. The Sue, I feel like counting them from Mishani, even Yermia says Misun Mapilin. Doesn't mean what you think he means. And you come up to Aim the Chalak, these first go only to Mashli, the Mummer Ke'erva. According to the Gaonim, we say a Mummer is like an Erva in his Potter. You shouldn't apply Nisun Rishonim to that. Shari Sofim to prove a chutzbo yibam. They say Momer is like Erba, Patsu and Talitza like yibam. In Cana, Filun Shaman Akri Nisun Tasi Erba Tafkiyo Zika. If so, then even if there's a Shmad after Nisun, even a Shmad Bishas Misa should patter.
You think Mandar Nisun Rishonim Apilin doesn't really hold it goes by Shas Misa? Everyone admits we care about Shas Misa.
Right? What I just read very quickly are the kind of lines that give Yivamos a bad reputation. To actually follow the three lines I just read, you have to really get into the family trees and shitas there. But what's he saying? He's saying everyone knows if someone's an Erev b'shas misa, she's p'tura. Everyone knows the p'tura Erev is chal b'shas misa, not b'shas nisun rishonim. We don't really say nisun appeal across the board. Only le'inyan zeh shim ha'isa sha'achas saris erev b'shas misa.
That only applies to saris erev. That's not an across the board din of when the nefil is.
Guys, the nira time. Okay. Let's even leave it at that. Then he makes it a little even more complicated. What's machlokes even the Urzaru and the Shum Zeshit? The Urzaru really thinks the Sunni Shonim Apilin means that all Pturim go depend on Shasli Sunni Shonim. And the Shum Zeshit says, no, that's ridiculous. That's only a special din that applies in some circumstances. In the case of Tsaris Erba, it's not even clear what he thinks about Erev itself. That's only special that applies to some circumstances. It's not that the real Nefil is B'shas Nisuin. Now, both Shitas of the Shumas Adeshin and the Urzarua need a lot more Hesper. The Urzarua needs a lot more Hesper to answer the Kashan of Shumas Adeshin asked on him. The Shumas Adeshin needs a lot more Hesper, so you read on the next few lines, you have to work out exactly what his logic is. But the Machlokes is very clear. The Urzarua says, Nisun Rishonim Apilin, the Icarit Shah is Nisun Rishonim, not Misa. I care about the status of the brother Nisun Rishonim, not about Misa. Because that's what the Ikra Nefila is. Shumas Desh says, no, the Ikra Nefila is not B'shas Nisu and Rishonim. That just means sometimes an Isser could be toe-face in that time. The Ikra Nefila is B'shas Misa. So I think this is the, in the Sugya of the Yavam Mummer, the Orzarua is Lishitase. The Orzarua says that it depends on Shas Nisuin, because there's a real Nefila then, and the Shumas Adeshin, without getting into all the details, which might be too hard to get into, but not for now, Shumas Adeshin says, no. Lekule Alma, the real Nefila, is B'Shas Misa. Lekule Alma, the real Nefila, is B'Shas Misa. B'Shas Nisuin Rishonim. Everyone agrees we really care about Shas Misa. Everyone agrees that if someone's B'Shas Misa bar Yibam, possible from Yibam, then they'd be Pater. This is just a technical din that applies in limited circumstances. So I think here we have the Orzaru Lishitasi, who really takes his idea of Nisuin Rishonim Apilin very, very seriously. And the Shumas Adeshin, who questions that. Okay, we didn't get into every single detail here, but we have, I think, a basic idea of three different Mahalchim in Manda already soon showed him appealing. Do we passing like him? That's a big machlokes in Daflam of Bala Morn or being Ephraim say we're choshesh from Manda already soon showed him appealing. At least in the case of Tsaris Erba, like our case, meaning we're choshesh for Avirmi. The Ramban and most Rishonim say we're not choshesh for Avirmi at all. But we have three different ways of understanding what it really means the sooner showed him appealing, which are how far do the roots of Yibam go? The Ramban, Tosfos, Rambam, and Beit Parrot say, Yibam doesn't exist till the guy dies. Who ever heard of Yibam before the guy dies? What a morbid thought. Right? The way the Akronim explained Tosas. No. Obviously no chi of Yibam before the guy dies, but the potential is already there. Why is the potential there? According to the Kobos Aristam, because built into marriage is potential, because built into marriage is various eventualities and potential. And according to the Rav, because you need to build the heter in originally, because you can't have a heter come Yeshmei Ayim later. And according to the Urzarua, he seems to take it very, very far in the name of these Gaonim and say that really the Ikar Nefila is B'Shas Yibam. And how to answer all the kashas on him, we won't get into now and say that really tremendous chiddush. Every time a guy gets married, the chiyuv yibum already is chal at that point. Marriage is automatically mechayiv the brothers in yibum. And therefore, if there's any any isser is chal, any tor yibum or mafkiyah from yibum is chal any time in the marriage, then it would be mafkiyah the yibum forever. That would be a very big fish. Okay, so much for nisum rishonim apilim. If we then go on to the Gemara a little, we see kol shein chol l'mayim, who t'mayim hashta vitis yabim. The Gemara asked, this is already chazara from what we've already discussed, right? The Gemara says, kol shein chol l'mayim, right? Meaning any woman who's married to Rabbanan, she was married to Ketana, Yosoma, so she's married to Rabbanan but not to Raisa, so the Erev is married to Rabbanan but not to Raisa, so the other wife that starts Erev means Rabbanan but not to Raisa, so she said, no, well, that's the woman's happiness. T'mayim hashta yabim, why not just do mia now and solve the problem, right? Do mia now, then she won't be starts Erev. So maybe it's be right for Moshe that you can't do Mia into a Zika. You can only do Mia into a Kiddushin. You can't do Mia into a Zika. And that's why she can't do Mia. No, we don't pass that way. Tsaris Erba Shiny. Really, you can do Mia into a Zika. And you'll be Mataris Lashon. Only Tsaris Erva is different, as we learned one blot ago, Tanya Ramakhesko, Mia of Aval Mataris Laviv. Right? If a woman's married without any deaths, she's Mamad Nerbal, she married her father, because she was Okan Nishun Rishonim. Mian Abiyavim, that's her love. But if she was Mian Abiyavim, even though she was also Okan Nishun Rishonim, she can't marry his father. Alma Vishastavila Neres Kekalaso. Hakanavi, right? Because once it was in the field of Yibam, it looks like a very serious marriage. Looks like a more serious marriage once it was in the field. She looks like she was the daughter in law of his father. Hakanavi Vishastavila Neres Kekalaso. But once she wasn't in Mayan Shastafila, she looks like Tsar Sarah at that point. And once she looks like Tsar Sarah at that point, then there goes her in her Midir Rabbanan. And that we already analyzed. The next Mishnah, okay, I think that's about all we got up to on this Makorah sheet. We'll pick up Amir Tzashem with the we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem with the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah, Sheish Arai Skumos Me'elu, we already discussed. We'll just cut to that. And in fact, I'll just point out, in the beginning, it's really two different Mishnahs. The first Mishnah, Sheish Arai Skumos Me'elu, 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 Me'elu. There are six Arayos that are more chumra than the 15, because they can't marry a brother at all. Therefore, they can only marry strangers. And if they can marry strangers, then you're allowed to marry the Tzaris Erva from a stranger where there's no Yibam. And who are they? Imo ve'ishas aviv, achos aviv, achosum yaviv, ve'eshiach yaviv, ve'ishas aviv, me'aviv. That's really the end of the Mishnah. What these six have in common is that they have to do with your father's side, therefore they apply to your brother equally. Right? There's only yibam for a brother from the same father. So all of these are also eshiach aviv, eshiach aviv to all your brothers, achos aviv, achos aviv to all your brothers, achosum yaviv, achosum yaviv to all your brothers, eshiach yaviv, eshiach yaviv to all your brothers, eshiach aviv, eshiach yaviv to all your brothers, eshiach yaviv to all your brothers. That's why there can never even be a case of yibam. Since there can never be a case of Yibam, there can never be an Isser Tzara. We remember the controversial part here is Imo, right? Because my mother is not necessarily my brother's mother. My father could have had two wives. So what's the problem with Imo? Why can't Imo marry my brother? So why can't Imo marry my brother? Right? Remember the sugya? This is the sugya of who? What missing body part? Lady, right? So, what's the problem with Imo? Why can't my brother marry my mother? Eishas Abish. That's what Rashi says. Imo in Yeholi Nasal Achim Shazemi Abish, Sharilo Eishas Ab, is Eishas Abish, which is an Erba. So, what kind of Imo are we talking about? Eishas Abish. The Rambam implies the same thing. So, if you look at the Rambam, Perish Mishnayas here, what does the Rambam say in the Perish Mishnayos here? If you want to glance at it, I don't know where it went in the Ozel Hadar. Anyone know where the Ozel Hadar put the Perish Mishnayos in the Rambam? Did I give up? Okay. Anyone have a non? Oh, here we are. There's a Mishnah section. Zot the Rambam on this Mishnah. He says, Your brother could have married the 15. Your brother couldn't have married these six. These six are all arayas on your brother. How is your mother arayas on your brother? How can your mother be arayas? Why is your mother arayas on your brother? Must be it's hung up emo anxious of it.
So the Rambam, Rashi says, Emo, Aishas Aviv. And the Rambam must agree. Why? The Rambam doesn't say anything, but he says it's a rias to your brother. Why is my mother a rias to my brother? It must be, because she's married to my father, and she is Aishas Aviv.
Okay.
Some of the Arishonim Achronim, the Aruch Laner here, and others have a big problem with this. Anyone remember what the big problem with Rashi is?
Right? That if emo means Aishas Aviv, what's the second case in the Mishnah? What's the second of the six arayas? Aishas Aviv. So isn't Aishas Aviv already covered? That is exactly Rav Ashi's statement on Daf Chesam and Aleph. I think it's Daf Yudav and Aleph. Rav Ashi Omar. That Yehudah Medayik the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because what does Rashi say? My emo, Eli Minasuas Aviv. The emo means she was married to your father. Hanuishes Aviv. That's the second of the six. Then there aren't six anymore. There are only five. Elolav Anusas Aviv. Bekatanim Deishin Minasuas Lachirim. What does Rashi say on Daf Yudam and Aleph? And this is what the Tosfos Rid says in the Mishnah. Says it means emo Anusas Aviv. It means your mother was not married to your wife. So why can't your brother marry her? Because the Mishnah is the Rabbi Yehuda, the Asar, Anusas Aviv. And this is Rav Ashi on Daf Yudam Aleph. And he said the proof is that otherwise it would just be Ashi Aviv, it would just be the second line in the Mishnah. So here we have a bit of machlokas, how to read this emo. Tosfos Rid says, like Rav Ashi, Nef Yudam Aleph, that Amaylo Daikis, can't you Daik our Mishnah like Rav Yehuda? Our Mishnah must be like Rav Yehuda, who says that you're Asur Anusas Aviv, and emo must be emo Anusas Aviv. Why did Rashi the Rambam not interpret this way? That's a big deal in the Achronim, but I think the simplest pashup shot is that why would Rashi the Rambam not interpret this way? For Rashi says it in Nef Yudam Aleph, why wouldn't they interpret this way? Anyone?
Right, what are the six? According to Tosfos Rid, number one of the six is Emo Anusas Aviv. And number two of the six is Aishas Aviv. So what's wrong with that?
L'chora, Rashi the Rambam just said, since we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't want to interpret that way. Right? Why should they interpret the Mishnah Lokei Hakasah? Rav Ashi thought you could interpret the Mishnah Lokei Hakasah. But who says he's right? There were three opinions about what rib you make by in the mach, we got to cover this.
So the Chora, Rashi, the Rambam say they want the Mishnah to be Kehilchasa, so therefore the first is Emo, Aishas Aviv, and the second is Aishas Aviv, who is not his mother, and even though the first and second Arayas of these six are really the same Arayas, Aishas Aviv, just one is Aishas Aviv, that's my mother, that's also my mother, one is Aishas Aviv, that's not my mother.
Now basically, the first Araya is Emo plus Aishas Aviv. The second Arayos is Emo plus Aishas Aviv. The second Arayos is just Aishas Aviv. Okay, so apparently they think it's okay to have two of the Arayos both include the same thing, better than Emo from Shredyuda. So that's just a shot my focus had on the Emo. Rashi and the Rambam would say, Emo is also Aishas Aviv. Just you can be Aishas Aviv and it can be my father's wife and my mother, or it can be just my father's wife and not my mother. While the Tosfos Rid says, like Rav Ashi, no, they can't both be Aishas Aviv. That would be too redundant. Must be that one is my mother, Anusas Aviv, and one is Aishas Aviv. What's the problem with Anusas Aviv? Anusas Aviv is like Rabbi Yehuda, who said there's a lot of Anusas Aviv. Okay, we'll pick up next time Rishon Shem with Beis Shammai. That's going to be your next big challenge. And Beis Shammai goes through three quarters of the way through Yudin and Beis. And basically the last Yibum Sugya pretty much
Pretty much the last Yibum Sugya in the first Perek is the first part of the majority of Yud Gimel Beis, which is Achlokes Bisham Beis Hillel, and why Bisham doesn't hold Nisur Tzaris Erev at all. And then the rest of the Perek, which will be another 3.5 lots, is going to be all that Losses go to in the nature of Achlokes Bisham Beis Hillel, which we will maybe try to go through a little quicker even. And some Agata also, but also some very important Halachim Yonim. Maybe we'll go through even that a little quicker, so we'll leave ourselves time before the end of the year to take a bite out of the second Perek as well, Mir Tzashem. We'll pick up here for Purim with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That's as long as we have a... as long as we have a captive audience here, we have a few minutes until 12:45. I'll just remind us of a brief ha'ara about Purim. The Rav once pointed out that there's a few strange things about Purim. Made a list of strange things about Purim. One is, Rabbi Shimon Levi says you have to read the Megillah during the night and the day. How does he know that? Elokai ekra yomam losane laimav ladun yali. Right? To daven Hashem in the day and at night, even though you're not answered yet. So he said that's very peculiar because chora daven to Hashem, the isara is the opposite of Kriyas Megillah. What's Kriyas Megillah? Kriyas Megillah is hodah on the what happened in the past, right? The pasuk is Elokim Ekri Yom Losan Lailunyali is Tsa'aka on the future, Al Ha'asid. So just because there's one rule for Tsa'aka Al Ha'asid, why does that tell us how many times we have to give Hodah on the past? It doesn't make any sense. Adraba, we should say, what does the Gemara in Erechin say? Kriyasa Zu Hilula. Megillah is like Hallel, and what's the name of Hallel? Only in the day, because it says being Mizrach Hashem is Avomu Hulal Shem Hashem. So Adarav, why do we yell Kayak or Yom Losan? It's very nice that that's in a Perek of Dehillim, which in the beginning is a remez to the Purim story. But it's not a din in Kriya Hashem. It's a din in Hallel, which is only by Yom. Mizrach Hashem is Avomu Hulal Shem Hashem. The Gemara Darshan, the Hallel is by Yom. So it's very peculiar. The Rav said another peculiar thing is the strange Trumas Adeshin in the Ramah. What does the strange Trumas Adeshin say in the Ramah? He says that, and there's a lot of peculiar things, we don't talk for all of them. He says that a doubly peculiar thing, and the question is that double peculiarity, coincidence, or the Shittasi. Strange Shuvah Zadesh in the Ramah, what's the only strange Shuvah Zadesh quoted by the Ramah in Hilchos Purim? If a guy finds it very hard to fast, and it's going to be late by the time he can find someone to read him the Megillah, what should he do? What do we say he should do? He's homebound. And he's sick. He's not going to get a Bal Kori till 9 o'clock. It's too hard for him to fast. What would we say he should do? Are you allowed to eat before the mitzvah Megillah? Are you allowed to eat before a mitzvah? What's the rule? You're not allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah at all? What's the halacha?
What's the time of the mitzvah?
Mishnah says, really? If there's a mitzvah, do I'm not allowed to eat at all? I'm not allowed to suda, but I'm allowed to have a snack. The Mishnah says, well, now have a snack before Megillah. What's the problem? So don't have a suda, right? Have a snack and tie you over to Megillah. Ma'abaya. Says the Trumas Adeshin, no. He should read the Megillah before Shkia. Mishnah says, Chas Shalom, he told me, I can't be guilty for you. He should read the Megillah before Shkia. No problem. Read the Megillah before Shkia from Plaga Mincha and Biyotze, and then he'll be able to break his fast and eat. So this Trumas Adeshin has two strange things. Number one, why should I be able to be Yotze the Megillah before Shkia? And number two, why can't he just have a snack before reading the Megillah? Before every other mitzvah, you can have a snack. What's so bad about having a snack before reading the Megillah, right? A lot of yeshivas do it before shofar, right? Shofar is more chomer than Megillah, perhaps. You might have a snack before Hanukkah candles, which are equally chomer than Megillah. So the Rav says, and a few other things also, so the Rav says, obviously, yesh dvar go here. Obviously, all these questions are difficult because you don't understand the Yesod of Purim. Why don't you understand the Yesod of Purim? Because of this Rambam in my hand. What did this Rambam in my hand do wrong? Anyone? Mishnah Torah. What did the Rambam... Oh, actually, maybe this Rambam in my hand is...
is okay. Yep, this Rambam is okay. And that some Rambam skip this. Now, Dom of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, has a little Akdom about the nature of Torah Sheval Peh, and then lists all the mitzvos. Like a summary of the Sefer HaMitzvah. He lists them twice. First in order of the Sefer HaMitzvos, and then in order of the Mishnah Torah, and what goes in which halachos. And then the Rambam has like a little paragraph that seems totally unimportant. After he lists the 613 mitzvos, you see the list of 613 mitzvos? He has a little paragraph that says, these are the Taryag mitzvos that we got at Sinai, and etc., etc., and the Yeshu Tzachiros, and they're also mitzvos to Rabbanan. All right, good to know. And he throws out an example. You should know there's also Rabbanans like Mikra Megillah. And then he throws out a line. V'ner Chanukah, the Tanis Tishba, V'irvin, etc. Okay. And then he goes on, he says, what about all these mitzvahs that were made later? We have to accept them, because it says, and then he throws out, totally just not dumb here. Why do they tell us to read the Megillah of Nasa? That's what we would have said, right? Pursue Anissa, right? To thank Hashem for giving us a Yeshua. Then he adds, and he listened to our prayers. What do we want to teach the Doros Habayim? I would have said that Hashem loves the Jewish people and he helps us out. No. He doesn't say it's to remind us that Hashem loves the Jews and he saved the Jews. He says it's to remind us that Hashem is there to listen to our tefillos. Apparently, the Rambam thinks the yesod of the mitzvah of Purim is not pursume nisa that Hashem did a nes. It's pirsum that Hashem listened to our tefillos. Pirsum that Hashem listened to our tefillos. And that the chiyuv of the specific pursume nisa of Purim is not a pirsum of a nes. It's a pirsum of kabbalas of koach ha-tefillah. The Rambam thinks Yom Purim is the day when we celebrate Kabbalah Tefillah. Now, the pasuk in very human language makes perfect sense. How do we know we should be at night and day? Because Tefillah, Tzaaka has to be at night and day, Lokem Ekor Laila Losana, Yom Losana Laila Dumuli. When you're in trouble, you have to cry to Hashem night and day. So if we want to remind ourselves and teach the Doros HaBayim that Hashem answers our tefillahs when we're in trouble, we have to remind ourselves of this message night and day. So we'll know that we're in trouble. We have to call that night and day. Since Purim is a kiyum in remembering the koach ha-tefillah, and not just in remembering Yeshua, it makes sense we should learn it from Pasuk of Tefillah. And he says, that explains the Trumas HaDeshen. What do the Trumas HaDeshen say? The Trumas HaDeshen said two things. Number one, you can't eat before Megillah in outside of Yerushalayim. Number two, you're allowed to read Megillah earlier in Tainus Esther. The Rav said, why? He says, what's Tainus Esther? Why do we need a Tainus for Esther? Why do we need a Tainus Esther? Esther didn't even fast on Yud Gimel, right? Esther fasted on Pesach. Without getting into the Machlokes of Rishonim, who's the first one to fast on Yud Gimel? Why do we need a Tainus Esther? Right? The Rishonim say it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, not a Vilus. Why do we need a Tainus of Simcha? Where it says, why do you have a Tainus of Simcha? He says, no. Tainus, what's the point of Tainus Esther? If we had Purim without Tainus Esther, we would miss the point of Purim. That would be remembrance that Hashem does Yeshua. Purim with Tainus Esther reminds us that Hashem does Yeshua because we daven. The Tainus of Kiyum Tzaka of Tefillah, we have Riboy Tefillah, right? Gam Sarbu Tefillah. Mikan, that a Tainus has Riboy Tefillah. So the Rav says the whole point of Tainus Esther is part of the Kiyum of Purim. The Kiyum of Purim is remembering the Yeshua Mitochat Tefillah, Mitochat Tzaka. So of course you need to have a Yom Tefillah before Purim to remind us of what brought Purim about. And that's why the Trumas HaDeshen holds both the Shitas. Why can't you even have a snack before Megillah? Because you shouldn't interrupt between the Tainus and Megillah, because you have to remember that it's the Tainus that brought about the Megillah. And why did the Trumas HaDeshen think you could be Yotze before Shkia? Because Yud Gimel is also part of Purim. Yud Gimel is the day we fast. It's the day we have a Kiyum of Tzaaka. Remember what, the most important part of the story. So of course, if the Megillah is Elokai Ekra Yomam Losan Elayim, if the Megillah is a Kiyum of remembering Koach HaTfila, then of course you can be Yotze on the day when you show your Koach HaTfila. Of course Yud Gimel is part of Tzaaka, and that's why the Gemara says, in the beginning of Megillah, you don't need a pasuk to teach us you're allowed to be B'nai Tefarim to read on Yud Gimel. Man Kilo Lakol. Yud Gimel is the Zman of the Tainus. Of course you can be Yotze Megillah. It's a double pasuk. And that's what Shimon Zadesha says. Of course on the Tainus you can be Yotze Megillah. Megillah is an idiot of Tainus. But don't break your Tainus for Megillah, because that'll ruin the whole point of Megillah's Esther. And the Rav says, Mehe Kitesu of the Rambam all this. Mehe Kitesu of the Chazal all this. So it's what it's saying in the Megillah. What is it saying? Mordechai wrote a letter to all Yehudim. That what should they keep? Right? In the letter, Mordechai said, this is not just a kiyum of a, like Hanukkah. Akiva presuming he says, Divrei Tzomos Dakasam. This remembrance of Divrei Tzomos Dakasam, and that's where Tainus Esther comes from, and that's really the Yisod of Purim. So I think that's a very interesting, it's just fascinating. You find a Rambam hiding where you never believe, that explains so many different things. There's a mucker in the Tanakh, and that explains why the Hasidim later came and said, Kol HaPoshei Yanosu Lo Purim is referring to Tefillah. Right, and that's why nowadays they always put up signs that there's a special Koach HaTefillah on Purim. Where do they get their signs? They just put up the signs. Well, they're based on this Rambam. Where do you think they got it from? The signs. They read the Rambam, or they heard it from someone, heard it from someone, heard it from someone, read the Rambam. So, okay, that's a nice additional way to understand Purim. There's a lot more you can say about it, but we're over our time, so we'll leave it for now. Wish everyone a Freilich and Purim. We have a special bonus. There will not be any additional Purim shiur, but there is a special Purim course to prepare. So you can compare this on your own on Purim, and take you in the spirit of the day, and I will see you in Ritz Hashem next Monday.